It's time for JT the Brick on Fox Sports Vegas.
Hey, great to hear your voice again, JT.
Raider Nation, what's up?
We've got four picks in the top 35. We've got a couple number one picks next year. We're in transition. We're moving to Las Vegas a year from now.
He's going to do it the right way. He's going to catch every ball, take it to the end zone.
I'm ready to just get to work and serve some fresh air and some new energy around here.
JT the Brick.
Well, we want to finish. And I think that's all you can ask for as a football player or a coach, finish. You know, don't just do the job halfway done. Get the job done. Go all the way through the line, not to the line.
Dominate, commitment to excellence.
Believe me, the effort, all right, the concentration, the details were there tonight. It gives us something to really build on.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Oh, I'm excited. Out of the gate, JT with you, courtesy of Golden Entertainment, PT's Happy Hour. I wish I was there now. It's 5 to 7. I'd go there now. And get after it 5 to 7, midnight to 2. The best happy hour in town is PT's 60-plus taverns and the brand-new Boulevard in Maine inside the Strat. Fun show today. I like what we're doing here as we expanded this to 2 hours. A lot of friends in town said, yeah, that second hour fits well with my schedule. We're adding in the newsmen and the newswomen in town into the show. I think we're building up what I believe are the best sharp base, the sharps, the gamblers in town. We have a couple coming up today, and Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. He's going to join us at 4:40. Joe Lisi, college football insider on the upcoming draft. He also is a sharp at 4:30. Love Joe Lisi. Big part of what we're going to do going forward. Also, next hour in the show, the football guru, Russell Baxter, one of the most connected NFL insiders out there, period. And the launch of Steph McKenzie. From 97.1 The Point, maybe one of the biggest Raider fans in the history of Vegas. Die-hard Raider fan. You hear her in the mornings across the hall. She's fabulous. We want to get her involved in the show. We want to get her involved in Evening Drive. We want to talk Raiders, which I believe she's one of the best at it. Whenever we talk when we're in the building, I mean, she mows me over with Raider knowledge and Raider intensity. From her license plate to her passion for the team, Steph will join us at 5:30, and we'll take her the half hour to the top of the show. Tomorrow's a big one. We're doing the show live from T-Mobile inside the booth where Dan Duva does the game. And we got great guests. Gary Lawless will kick off the show with us. Head coach of UNLV football, Tony Sanchez, is going to join us. Johnny Katz, who writes the big entertainment column in town, he's going to check in. We have guest after guest, and the Vegas Golden Knights just texted me and told me that they're expecting either George McPhee or a player on top of that. We're excited. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton will also join us. And Barry Tompkins, one of the great boxing, football broadcasters of all time. Barry Tompkins will join us over the phone. So that's a fun show. That's 2.5 hours leading into the game against the Arizona Coyotes. Speaking of that game, we have two tickets to give away today for the best callers, hockey callers. We tried it yesterday. I was pleasantly surprised. I was okay. It wasn't brilliant. It was okay, but beggars can't be choosy here. I'm trying to elevate the level of phones here in this town, and we want to hear from you again today. So we'll tell you when to call in, same thing, and maybe you want to put a call together wrapping up the regular season, what this year meant, and how the Vegas Golden Knights peak into the postseason. That's where I'll begin. A cause for concern, no. But I'm just a guy nervous anyway in hockey in the first round. You can get knocked out. That's it. That's all you need to know in hockey. It's not like football. Tom Brady doesn't have to play in the first round. He gets what's called the bye week. You don't get one of those in hockey. And then Tom Brady gets a home game automatically against a team he doesn't know he's going to play until they win their first game. That doesn't work in hockey either. In hockey, especially with the playoff seedings, you can face a really good team in a 2-3 game right out of the gate. And Vegas will do that with San Jose. San Jose is about as even with Vegas as any other team out there. They're better on defense, other than goaltending, where the Vegas Golden Knights have a Hall of Famer in Fleury. And I believe that Vegas Golden Knights are much better on offense because they have more depth. Other than that, that's it. You don't know what's going to happen. We talked about the physicality yesterday. Will there be a fight with Reeves? I think San Jose wants to drop the gloves and fight. They remember last year, they did not do a good enough job getting after the smaller, undersized forwards of VGK. I think they're going to be more physical and ready to go. See, San Jose has nothing to lose. They hate us here because we are the entertainment capital of the world. They're Silicon Valley. There's no bottle service in nightclubs and pool parties in Silicon Valley. There's basically Apple, Facebook. You go around, there's Tesla, a bunch of people with their heads in their cell phones, yapping away on their computers, and then going to hockey games at night. They're not Vegas. They're jealous. They're upset that we're better already, and they want to beat Vegas more than any team out there. That's my opinion. And I've owned that from the beginning. San Jose is the most motivated team that the Vegas Golden Knights will play in regards to a rival. More than the LA Kings, more than Calgary. So you're going to get a rivalry game right out of the gate. You're going to have to bring your A game to game 3 and 4 at T-Mobile. And hopefully there's some breathing room as they get going. All right, let's get to what happened in the last game, the last victory against the Oilers, which was good. Marchessault will be an X factor in the postseason if he gets hot and stays hot.
McDavid to the high slot, leaves it there. Stick check, breakaway. Marchessault, left side, the righty, backhand, score! 25 goals, Jonathan Marchessault. Vegas takes a 2-0 lead a minute into the second period.
Dan Duva on all the calls there. That's a big one, 25. It's a milestone. It's a big number for Marchessault, who's going to have to play really well in the postseason right out of the gate in the first round. And then a late goal, an open netter to put it away, and VGK gets a comfortable win at home.
Gets a return feed. Shot knocked down off the pipe. No! It goes behind, and Vegas gets the puck to the near corner. Belmar there with McNabb. Sent a hit off the skate that hops out through center. 25 seconds to go. That one hit the pipe and went across the goal line by inches.
McDavid had a wide open net on the rebound and couldn't put it in.
In the neutral zone, Oilers back in with 12 seconds to play. Diving effort by Carlson, clears it out. Belmar ahead, left side, 8 seconds. Belmar shoots and scores!
Golden Knights radio on the call, so there it is, a 3-1 victory over a team that they're supposed to win. You know, for the Oilers to have two players, including Connor McDavid, arguably the best player in all of hockey, with over 100 points and not being in the playoffs, that is tough to do. Imagine if that happened here. That's technically what could have happened in Vegas. A couple of big scorers on this team and no playoffs year one, no playoffs year two. Get over it, everybody. You're an expansion team. You're not going to the playoffs. Just the opposite. As you go to the Bud Light Lounge or the Jack Daniels Lounge and you're watching playoff hockey coming up here shortly. I'm telling you, Canada, Edmonton, Wayne Gretzky's team, they're not in the playoffs again. Those Canadians are freaking out that we have hockey games in Vegas. I'm just loving this topic because it's so good about what we have happening here and how much fun it's been so far. For Gallant now, as he spoke to the media today, getting ready for what's going to happen going forward, I'm excited about this because Gallant was a little bit chippy over the last couple of games when they weren't playing well, but now they bring in a new free agent. They make a signing that maybe is a boost of adrenaline.
Yeah, I heard that this morning. Real excited. Obviously, we had him at development camp last year, and he's a 23-year-old defenseman that we were on the ice for a week with him, and we really liked him. And when George talked about him last year and our staff talked about him last year, we said it's a guy that we're targeting. And, you know, for us to get him, we're real happy.
Jimmy Schilt comes in, and it's just another body. We'll see what happens as they expand roster and we get a chance to watch this team play. Don't know. He doesn't know much about him. That's a coach going, not even mentioning his name, just saying, yeah, I'm like laser being focused. They tell me we got a new guy, defenseman, we'll get him out there. I wouldn't call it a weakness because they have Nate Schmidt. But the strength of the Vegas Golden Knights is not their defense. The strength of the San Jose Sharks is their defense and their skilled defensemen. So they have a little bit of advantage in that. For Gallant, keeping the team focused on what's at hand. Some people call it a meaningless game tomorrow night. He doesn't.
I expect a real hard game that's going to be played real well. Like I said, I watched that team play for the last 2.5 months. And they deserve a lot of credit. They're battling, they're competing hard, and obviously they lost a tough game last night. But you know what? They have to have a two-game winning streak. That's what they're looking at. And hopefully they're hoping Colorado loses the next two games and they get in. So it's going to be a battle. I expect their best game from them, and I expect our team to play real well.
Outstanding soundbite. What a coach. That's what he says. He's telling the team, look, these guys are coming in desperate, hungry. They're going to play a great game. Be ready to go. I think the last thing you want to see at the last home game is a blowout loss or a loss in general. Look, if they lose in overtime or they lose in a shootout or it's a bad bounce, no puck luck. You live with that. You're ready for the playoffs. But you don't want a team coming in here exposing you because you're not mentally locked in, because everybody knows the playoffs have already been clinched. Speaking of the playoffs, more comments coming from Gallant, the media doing the right job asking him about San Jose.
It's different. Obviously, we had the battle this year, and we had some ups and downs during the season. But no, I think our team's a confident group. They're going to go into the playoffs and know we're facing a great team, so it's going to be a battle. Doesn't matter who you're going to face, it's going to be a battle, but it's going to be San Jose, and we know that team. They know us real well. We played them a lot. So I think we're confident, but I think we're smart enough to know that if we don't play our best game, we're not going to win.
That's it. That's what we just said here as we open up the Must Listen monologue and touch on that, brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway in Henderson. When we're talking hockey, we talk about the super deals that you're looking for. Boulder Highway in Henderson. Go on out and see the entire crew and what they're doing down there. They're all big hockey fans. So we're set. It's San Jose. I think it's going to be a big party tomorrow night. I think a lot of people are going to go be there, the season ticket holders, throwing them back, loose on a Thursday night, having fun. The weather's great. It's just going to be a cool time here. Knowing that the team has already clinched the playoffs is one of the great fun opportunities you could have in professional sports. Really is. Once you know, the Warriors know they're in the playoffs before the start of the year. The Raiders, some people don't think the Raiders are going to make the playoffs this year. Vegas win totals have them at 6. So you look, you go into the offseason and the regular season not even thinking that you're a contender for the playoffs. John Gruden does, which I'll get to in a moment. But for Vegas and this hockey team to know that they are already in means enjoy it. Enjoy it. Have some fun. Today's my wife's birthday. We're going to the game tomorrow. It's a party. It's a party in town, but it's not a party for that hockey team. They are locked in. It's all business as they get going, and I'm excited about that. Every day, I get a text from someone at the Raiders saying, we did it again. We signed someone else. Raiders add another wide receiver in Ryan Grant, who comes in to add depth at the position. Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, and they're bringing in more bodies and guys who are going to compete overall who have NFL experience. What does it mean? Like, I sent out a tweet today at JT the Brick. All it means is there are going to be 53 guys on the roster to start the season. And there's going to be 90 at one point or more in the building. And they're all going to be fighting for their lives because no longer. And Jack Del Rio was a hell of a coach. Jack Del Rio got him to 12-4. But I don't recall a time when the Raiders were in a position like this where they have that many bodies of guys who are decent or good or great in the building. Last year, it was obvious. I didn't pick it out. John Gruden was going to tear apart the team because he did not like what he saw once he got in the building. He liked what he saw when he was offered $100 million on a 10-year deal. He loved that. He loves to coach. But then Khalil Mack left. Amari Cooper was traded. And John Gruden looked around and said, I can't win with this. He pulled me aside in Napa and pulled me aside and said, we got to get the train back on the track. I should have, I've told this story, got it at that point. But at that point, I just thought, well, you know, that's coach speak. No, what it was he was going to tear it down and do it again in his likeness. And that's what he's doing. So Ryan Grant comes in, the latest addition to a Raiders wide receiving corps that lost Jordy Nelson, lost Jared Cook, who was like a wide receiver at tight end. Grant, 28, struggled to find a niche in the Colts offense last season because there were depth issues there. And the thought last season was that Grant would become extra motivated because of what was happening there. He was going to be the second guy to T.Y. Hilton. Now he comes into the Raiders after battling an ankle injury during the season. His role diminished as the season went on. Remember, the Colts, possibly the most improved team in football last year, a playoff team. He finished with 35 receptions for 334 yards and one touchdown. If he was healthy, I think he would have penciled out to 60 receptions for 600 or 700 yards and 5 or 6 touchdowns. He had 9 receptions for 65 yards in the final 8 games of the season, coming off an ankle injury. So he's completely healthy and ready to go. He also played with the Washington Redskins and had 84 receptions for almost 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns in 64 games. So the Raiders, again, making moves to get better, bringing in guys who they can cut at any other point. We'll bring you in, we'll sign you, Here's a little bit of money. Go try out and try to make the team. If someone that we draft is better than you, we're going to cut you, and you're going to be gone and land somewhere else. That is the Gruden mistake. You better bust your ass every day and be great, not good, or you're not going to play for him. Finally, in the monologue, we get to Bryce Harper and what's going on with him. Today, he had a couple of hits, but last night in his return was exceptional. The couple of strikeouts early, then he got locked into the zone and hit a moonshot that's still going.
2-2, swing and a drive. Deep right center field, and that ball is gone into the second deck. And Bryce Harper, in his return to Washington, has crushed it.
Yeah, there he is on Phillies radio. Bryce Harper's off to a really good start this year, and baseball is underway. We talk about baseball every day on the show. Later on in the next hour, maybe half hour, we're going to get into Russell Westbrook and what happened, his motivation with Nipsey Hussle, the rapper, the former gang member who was shot and killed in Los Angeles. There are several NBA players from L.A., high profile, Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan, Russell Westbrook, you go down the list, James Harden, who were all deeply affected and moved by the murder of Nipsey Hussle. So Westbrook went out and just went nuts and had one of the greatest games in the history of the NBA, all for a fallen rapper who tried to change lives and actually was on a better road in his own personal life. So that's a story we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. Joe Lisi, Russell Baxter, Steph McKenzie will join us. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. And my perspective on gaming here in town is because there's a lot of a sudden there's a whole bunch of new big shot gamers in town. They all want to go on the radio. Okay, we're going to put the best ones here. The ones who move the needle the most, who I know have a bankroll, I know have a track record. If you've been watching action on Showtime, it's nice to see a couple of friends of the show get some TV coverage. Really happy for them. But what I've also figured out over the years is a lot of people in this city who claim they're handicappers, they're not. They're not handicappers. They watch games on TV and bet a few games. They don't handicap games. They have hunches. The pros document what they do. They put it up, and we know what they do because they have clients and track records, and they're in business. We want to put those people on the radio along with the bookmakers at the best properties here in Vegas. All right. Oh, and Conor McGregor. Oh, see what he's saying about Khabib's wife? Oh. Dana White, what are you going to do with Conor McGregor? Just retire already and sell whiskey. Incredible. Find me on Twitter, at JT The Brick. Also on Facebook, at JT The Brick. Hey, 920 is home of the Aviators. They're getting ready to play at the Las Vegas ballpark.
Rebound down to Harper, and he puts it away. He's dribbling the clock away. For the first time ever, Auburn is going to the Final Four in overtime. Auburn knocks off Kentucky 77-71. The Auburn Tigers are Final Four bound for the first time in school history.
That's a big story with Auburn. We'll get to that a little bit later on and tomorrow as we preview the Final Four and hoops coming up. College football insider Joe Lisi joins us, one of the sharpest out there. We haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks. Joe, it's never an off season for you. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, JT. The long off season of college football, spring games taking place this weekend. We have the NFL draft at the end of the month. Doesn't get better than this.
Yeah, and the spring game, I'm going to the one here in Vegas for UNLV. Walk us through someone like yourself who you're in the business. What do you look forward to in the spring game? Some coaches take it much more seriously than others, and the depth and the stars getting their hands on the ball. What is it like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I watch the games, and I'll take into account, you know, see what teams do, but I don't put a lot of emphasis on spring ball. A lot of coaches don't want to give away game plans or type of personnel packages that they might utilize in the week of September or October, for that matter, especially to give opponents 6 months to game plan. So I don't put a whole lot of weight into these spring games. I want to watch football, so I'll keep an eye out for the big games like Alabama, LSU, Georgia, and, of course, Clemson. But if there's a key injury to a quarterback or a major player offensive defensively, that's what I key on for these spring games.
Joe Lisi is our guest. Go for the two. Joe, what's changed with Kyler Murray here over the last couple of weeks? He didn't do anything at the combine. His personal workout there, he only did so much. He didn't run the 40. What are you hearing here? Because there's a lot of chatter. John Gruden and Mike Mayock just worked him out. Also, the Raiders are at number four. Most people believe he'll go number one overall to Arizona. What do you suspect?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I see, unless a team trades up for Arizona to take that spot, I think he will go with Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals. They do have Josh Rosen on the roster now that he played last year. I mean, played okay in the system, but he's not the type of quarterback that really fits Cliff Kingsbury's style. I mean, Kingsbury coached him in Texas A&M. He was a raw talent. I think the one thing when you look at Kyler Murray in his progression to the next level, he's a raw athletic talent, and you can't take away what he did last year in leading Oklahoma to the college football playoff. Is he the same type of player that Baker Mayfield was coming out of the same system? Not at all. Baker Mayfield was a more polished quarterback, had a higher completion percentage for a longer period of time, and I think that's the difference when you look at both quarterbacks coming out of Oklahoma in terms of their progression. I think Baker Mayfield stepped right in and made progress and got wins. Kyler Murray, I think it'll take a year or two to get acclimated to the NFL game.
Joe Lisi's our guest. So I agree with everything you're saying, because we were talking about him playing baseball in Vegas. We have a new AAA ballpark here, and he was probably going to play some baseball out here. We lost out on seeing that because he's going to the NFL. And you mentioned Kingsbury. What kind of offer would he have to get to let this kid go? Because the teams that would trade up to number one, it could be the Raiders, because the Raiders have the most draft equity, but I think that'd be a mistake for them to give up picks after securing him from the Khalil Mack and Cooper deal. But the Dolphins and the Giants are the other teams that are in desperate need for a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, great points in terms of New York and Miami. As a Dolphin fan, I think it's a perfect fit for Miami. Now, I thought Teddy Bridgewater, a free agent, would have went there. He decided to stay with New Orleans. I also thought Lamar Jackson was a perfect fit for Miami last year, and they passed on the situation. So you're talking about a team that has a defensive-minded coach in Flores, and they have young talent offensively that they could build around. So I think Miami's a good fit. I don't think it's a good fit for New York because of the personnel that he has around him. Now, if Odell Beckham was there and they had more explosive speed on the perimeter, I think that could be an option. But now, minus Odell, I don't think it's a good fit for the New York Giants that want to run the football first and then work off a play action with Pat Shurmur's offense.
Joe Lisi at Go for the Two, a must follow on Twitter. I have 8 or 9 NFL drafts in front of me, and one is from Chad Reuter from NFL.com, and he has the Raiders trading up to number 2 to get Drew Locke. Now, that might be for clicks, but just to get some attention to his mock draft. But tell us about Drew Locke out of Missouri, because several mock drafts that I'm looking for have him now going before Haskins from Ohio State, and I thought Haskins was a really good prospect that could go number 6 to Big Blue, the Giants.
Yeah, it's an interesting quarterback draft. I don't think it's as good as it was last year in terms of the players that did come out. But when you look at Drew Locke, the one thing that stands out for me, his completion percentage did get better from his junior to senior year. But big game experience, that's where Drew Locke struggled. And he had a couple of big games last year, played very well on the road in Florida, got that victory the week after Florida lost a rivalry game to Georgia. So how much weight do you put into that victory? And he went into Knoxville and dominated the Tennessee Volunteers. Outside of that, in terms of a resume and big, especially road wins within the SEC, Drew Locke did not step up. He beat up on lesser competition. I think he's more of a system quarterback. He tested well at the combine, has a very strong arm, but is this the guy that you want to take with the second overall pick? I just don't see it. I think there's better quarterbacks in free agency that if you need to take a quarterback in the second round outside of Kyler Murray, I would not take Drew Locke, in my opinion, with the second overall pick of this upcoming draft.
Joe Lisi, as we take a look, this is our in-depth team coverage of the draft coming up on the 25th. The Raiders have four picks in the first 35. We own the draft in Vegas. We're talking about it nonstop here on the Las Vegas Sports Network. I like Nick Bosa. I think he could get banged up a lot. I'm not sure. I'm not going to call him injury prone, but he didn't fight back from an injury to get on the field for Ohio State. And I'm going to hold that against him because I think Ohio State's different than even Christian McCaffrey not wanting to play in the Sun Bowl for Stanford because he had everything on the line for the draft. I thought that Nick Bosa would want to play for Urban Meyer late in the season. What are you hearing about him? Because most drafts have him going number two overall to the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, an interesting prospect. Again, a lot of people are going to put weight into his brother, Joey Bosa. He held out for San Diego, stepped right in, did not miss a beat, and he's built in that mold. And the Ohio State defense took a major step back, especially in run support, when he was not part of that program. So, again, I agree with you. I'm with players playing, and I understand it was an ACL, but again, this is what players do. I mean, if you want to throw another player in there, JT, how about Will Greer? I mean, this was a kid that did not play in the bowl game against Syracuse and then decides to play in the Senior Bowl. I just don't understand that. If you're going to not play with your teammates in a bowl game because you want to risk injury, but then decide to step up in the Senior Bowl with a makeshift offensive line that didn't play for weeks and just were thrown together for a week, I still have a problem with that as well. So it's what kids do. I understand it, but I don't like it in any capacity.
Wrapping it up with Joe Lisi. All right, Joe, here's the big one for the Raider fans who are listening. Josh Allen's the edge rusher for Kentucky. Williams, the defensive tackle from Alabama. It's one of those two for the Raiders. I would assume that the Raiders won an edge rusher because they lost Khalil Mack, and that's been a weakness for the team. But Quinnen Williams of Alabama is by far the best defensive tackle out there. Who do you have going three or four? Who's the better player?
I think for me, I think it is Josh Allen because of the speed off the edge. I think Quinnen Williams is a dominant force, but I think there's some other defensive tackles like Dexter Lawrence and like his teammate Christian Wilkins that could fill that void as well. So if you lose Williams, to me, it's not that big of a loss. When you look at Josh Allen, he turned around that Kentucky defense 3 years ago. They were horrible in terms of run support, giving up well over 200 yards per game. With Josh Allen over the last couple of years, they recorded over 30 sacks the last two seasons. That was the main reason why Kentucky was 10-3. So for me, I would take the edge rusher in Josh Allen. You look at Bud Dupree a couple of years ago for Pittsburgh. I like what Stoops did with the defensive talent for Kentucky.
Last one, Joe. It's been lately, especially for Dabo, Clemson has been the best team, proved it last year against Alabama. I would suspect that Nick Saban is more focused than ever to get the program back on top again. There's still Georgia. There's still Ohio State. Just handicap to me what you believe will be two or three of the teams in the Final Four. Who are the favorites going into college football?
Yeah, obviously it's Alabama and it's Clemson overall. I give obviously the edge to Clemson because they are the defending national champs, but they'll have defensive losses. Like I mentioned, Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, you have Pharrell, a bunch of defensive talent that moves on. But the way Brett Venables and that defensive staff have really coached up that talent over the last 4 years, that's what you want to see. And when you look at both of those teams combined, JT, they are 15-1 last year on the road or on a neutral field site. That's an amazing statistic. In order to win the college football playoff, you need to win on neutral fields. So I give the edge to those two teams, 1-2 overall. I throw in there Ohio State because of Justin Fields as well. He's a mobile quarterback. Ryan Day's there. They're going to be a front runner. And how about Washington now with Jacob Eason at the helm, former Georgia quarterback? So I think that's what you look at the top four teams. But again, my preview is coming out in about another month. I might have a couple of sleepers in there as the month of May progresses.
Joe, tell everybody about the preview. Last year it blew me away. I know you put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, it breaks down the statistical balances of every Power 5 team offensively and defensively. It'll be available on Amazon. I'm hoping to get it out first week of May, but it'll definitely be out before May 15th. So before anyone else, it's up on Amazon. Go for the chew.com Power 5 College Football Preview.
All the best. Good to hear from you again. You bring tremendous energy to our broadcast. We thank you.
Anytime, JT. Love the show.
Thank you. Joe Lisi, so good. And I found out about him through my buddy Las Vegas golfer Brady Cannon. We'll have him on next week. I was a moderator at the Super Contest. He was one of the individuals on the panel. I met him. I just said, I love doing that in radio. One of the things I like to give back, because life's short, is a lot of people who are coming up in the business, I get a chance to meet them. Give them an opportunity. This guy ran through the wall. We're going to have him on every week during NFL season and every other week now as we're building our new show. College football fans, too. And then he'll pick games. He'll pick games when we take a look and start crunching numbers when lines come out and we look at overall win totals and all that. Joe is really good. Bobby, you got to be excited. There's baseball on. We have baseball on in the studio every night. So from time to time, we'll give you baseball and a scoreboard here. Coming up next, we want to talk about Nipsey Hussle and the passing of the rapper and the former gang member and the impact he had on Los Angeles and now nationally and globally. Russell Westbrook last night played like a crazed animal because he wanted to pay tribute to Nipsey Hussle. We'll get into that next and talk to Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Excited about that. Hey, tomorrow at this time, we're going to be inside the fortress from Dan Duva's perch overlooking the ice. I can't wait. That's kind of a bucket list thing for me. I had a chance to do some cool things in Vegas. This is one that I can't wait to talk about. Packed show tomorrow, thanks to the Vegas Golden Knights on your flagship station. Welcome back, everybody. Excited. Steph McKenzie is going to join us in studio at 5:30. Also, the NFL guru, Russell Baxter, coming up. As our head is down this month, it's about the Raiders draft, period. This month, after this week wraps up, we have a Golden Knight game tomorrow night. We'll be broadcasting live inside T-Mobile. Thrilled about that. And then after that, we'll get you ready for the San Jose Sharks, but the priority for me is the Raiders draft. Raiders draft and the Golden Knights in the postseason. Every day, nonstop, come back here. That's where you'll find it. It's a light night in the NBA. I wanted to talk a little bit about what happened last night. Last night was an epic night. I mean, James Harden, who's going to be the MVP, was the third story. He had 36 points in the win over the Kings, 130-105. But the two games that were really unique, first, the Thunder were at home. They beat the Lakers 119-103. Russell Westbrook, 20 points, 20 rebounds, 21 assists. Only the second player to ever do that in the history of basketball. Are you kidding me? That was one of the greatest individual performances ever. Bigger than Wilt Chamberlain, because Wilt Chamberlain was 7 foot and had a mass advantage over everybody, averaged 50 points, 20 rebounds a game. So you expect that Wilt did that once, but not Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is one of the greatest individual basketball players that I've ever seen. He gets a lot of heat from some radio hosts because he turns it over or he doesn't win. He does everything he can to win. Have you seen a guy in your life play as hard as him? The only other guy I compared to is Allen Iverson in his prime. Iverson in his prime was so undersized and would go up against the trees and the big guys like Shaq and compete, play all those minutes, put up stats, and played hard every second of every game. Westbrook, in my opinion, plays even harder than Iverson. So last night, he was playing for the slain rapper, Nipsey Hussle, because he's from L.A. And a lot of basketball players, NBA players, from L.A. Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan. You look at all the players. They did players only last night. Baron Davis was in studio in Atlanta, moved and shaken by the murder of Nipsey Hussle. Everybody in L.A. is talking about this. I don't know enough about Nipsey to go on a deep dive. He's a former gang member, pretty hardcore gang guy with some pretty crazy lyrics over the years, but he reformed his life and was really, before he was murdered, about to meet with LAPD to try to do better things within the community. So a lot of people looked up to him. He had a tremendous impact in that area around Los Angeles, and his life was taken way too short. The slain rapper was killed, and Russell Westbrook went out and played in his honor.
Russell's done it. He gathers his 20th rebound. 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 21 assists for the Force. Playing to the crowd, pounding his chest, and getting a standing ovation at Chesapeake Arena.
That's the Thunder Radio Network, and I was watching it live. And at one point, they did a great job on the broadcast. Billy Donovan, the head coach, looked at Russell to ask him if he wanted to come out of the game, and they showed Westbrook shake his head no. So people would have thought that he was trying to pad his stats, right? He was trying to add to his stats in a meaningless game. It wasn't about that. It was about Nipsey Hussle, the fact that he wanted to put up that number for him. And after the game, he was very emotional in the post-game presser. So that was a big moment in the history of Russell Westbrook. I think it's going to be memorable because of his roots, coming from the inner city of L.A., playing at UCLA. He was friends with Nipsey, and he wanted to go out and put on a great performance. I mean, I commend him for that. For the people who go after this guy every day and use the media to rip him, I think they're pathetic for doing it. Russell Westbrook, I mean, you could look at the mole on Lincoln's face and say something negative about him. He is a brilliant, brilliant basketball player, and he hasn't had good enough teams to win it all. And he's playing against the Warrior dynasty. Speaking of the Warriors, so that was a big game as we wrapped up the show last night. We were telling you about it. I couldn't wait to watch it. Warriors are playing the Nuggets for first place in the West. So the Nuggets are the 2 seed, and they could be the 1 seed, and they got blown out. They were down by 20-plus most of the night. I was shocked by that. The Nuggets had everything to play for, and they couldn't play hard. The Warriors trashed them. I mean, it looked like the varsity versus the JV. Durant got ejected in the game for some pretty profane language, and they teed him up twice.
Millsap crowded him and did not foul him.
I'll tell you what, I thought Murray got fouled a little bit. Now Durant has a tee.
And careful for Kevin. They get a tee on Zach Zarba, and Cousins is making sure
he's gone.
He's gone. He got ejected.
He's gone.
He's had this phenomenal game. I just got double-teed and tossed.
Warriors Radio, by the way, he's one game shy of a game suspension. Watch out, Kevin Durant. And I was watching with my wife and sons, and we looked at the tape. We went back and we rewinded it, and the profanity he used against that referee was pretty hardcore, what he said. I won't give you that here, but it was pretty hardcore. I wouldn't even mention it on satellite radio. DeMarcus Cousins was incredible in the game. Wow, this is where you go, you shake your head when you watch the Warriors. You go, how does a dynasty team get a guy like Boogie Cousins who can take over a game? Cousins was the best player last night. He had 28 points and 13 rebounds.
Iguodala backs in, rotates out, Cousins open. It's a three ball, and it's money. Cold, hard cash.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive there. He was great. He was going to the rim. He made some threes, which was incredible here. He was 2 for 4 from three. Hey, Steph Curry was 5 of 10 from three, and he only had 17 points in the game.
Curry off a screen, fires for three. It's good! And Curry has moved by Chris Mullin. He's now fourth all-time on the Warriors scoring list.
Tim Roy on the Warriors Radio Network. So as I see it today, as I sit here in Vegas, it looks like the Warriors are going to run away with this. If that was the best team in the West, the 2 seed, that was uncompetitive. It was embarrassing to watch that game. Lee Sterling, one of the best sharps in the business, ParamountSports.com. Been talking to him on the radio for over 20 years. We've been friends on and off the air. And Lee, good to talk to you again. The excitement for me for the Final Four without Zion is not what I expected it to be, but for the gamblers coming into this with Michigan State and Virginia favorites in the semifinal games, what type of action are we talking about in hype here?
I still think there's great storylines with all four teams here, and I think the best two teams are going to be squaring off in the later game. That's Texas Tech and Michigan State. So you got Michigan State, coached by Izzo. I mean, Tom Izzo is a legend. Players love him. Very rarely do these kids leave early. And I mean, you got to love the way they were down. It looked like they might be getting blown out in the first half against Duke, and they rebounded like it was nothing and went on something like a 15-0 run to end the half, and then fought through some real tough situations in the last 5 minutes and found a way to win. And Texas Tech has played the best of any team right now in the tournament. I think they're the most dangerous team. As long as they don't have a drought, 7-8 minute drought, I think they're the team to beat, believe it or not. And on the other side, Auburn with that helter-skelter offense. I don't think they run any plays, it seems like. They're going to be fun, but they could come up against it here against the Virginia team that seems to have finally figured out how to get things done in big games. And people, you know, remember what happened last year, but this year they won a lot of games by 20-plus points, and they were a dominant team. Except for Duke, they handled pretty much everyone this year. So I think we're going to see probably a Texas Tech-Virginia championship, and may not be, you know, teams that we're familiar seeing, but it doesn't mean that it can't be as good or better final than we've seen in a long time. I think it's been, last weekend was some of the best basketball and some of the best finishes we've seen in the last decade.
Lee Sterling's our guest. You think there'll be sharp money coming in on Auburn, the way they've been playing and who they beat along the way, as Virginia is a 5.5-point favorite and that number hasn't moved?
I think we're going to see some sharp and some public money here, but I think they're going to be making a mistake here. I just think that this might be the game that, you know, all that emotion, you know, losing their star player. This is a guy who was their heart and soul guy, okay, who, you know, rebounds, scores, you know, takes the charge. I mean, does everything that you need from a player, and teams can overcome it. We've seen it in every sport for one game, but usually it's that second game, and that's what really worries me with this Auburn team. If he plays, I think they would have had a chance to win it all.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com. What do you think of the folding, the demise of the AAF? I thought that they would get through the first season. The hype was real. The ratings were real. I thought the quality of play was okay. Well, you're down there in Miami. You have a lot of contacts. You know Spurrier. What happened here?
Yeah, they just did. Their plan wasn't fully thought out. I think they needed to get, you know, the backing of the NFL, and until the NFL wants to back a league and make it a developmental league and give them support. You know, these kids that are playing, you got to give them, you know, some insurance. You know, if something happens, let's say a kid has an ACL injury, you know, he's only making $75,000 for the full 10 games. You know, that's not enough to take care of a kid like that. So they needed to do something, and they weren't willing to do it. The NFL likes to have, you know, they already have the college football, and so that's their developmental league right now. But, you know, hopefully they can find a way to step in and step up and do the right thing and maybe have a nice developmental league. And you find some kids. Look at Garrett Gilbert, quarterback for Orlando. I think he's going to come back, and I think he's going to be a backup for someone. This kid, I think, has what it takes to be going to be a star, but to be at least a solid backup to the NFL, a bunch of other real good kids. So I think it's good. I thought that the problem was they just didn't have enough good quarterbacks, and a quarterback can mask a lot of weaknesses. So if the NFL is willing to maybe help out and they can come to an agreement, then maybe next year with the XFL, it'll be a little bit better product.
You're right about that. And the XFL is not going to have a deep relationship with the NFL. The AAF with Bill Polian, They were able to do it. They should have been able to do it, and it didn't work because the big money guy dropped out of it. But I just know fans because, you know, in Vegas, we're about the bet. People were watching it. Sports books, I would walk by. People wanted to see the games. On the NBA, I wanted you to jump in because last night I really expected more out of Denver. They had nothing in a big spot for them as they wanted to regain the one seed overall. Where's the money now going up against the Warriors here? It seems like it's James Harden or it's going to be the Warriors dynasty again.
Yeah, I think Houston's the only team that can challenge them. And the key is what you have to do at this point, the last week of the season. You have to look at teams. And, you know, for instance, I'm playing the Miami Heat tonight. Why am I playing the Miami Heat? They might be down 18-12 right now. But, you know, Boston got there a day early. They probably went out last night. Not going to be playing two of their top seven players tonight. They're kind of locked in that 4 and 5 seed. And, you know, those teams 6 through 8 are just, you know, playing it out and going to be that first round fodder against the top team. So in the West, I think it's even the most interesting because teams do not want to play Houston or Golden State the first round. So you're going to see some teams jockeying and do what they can to avoid playing those two teams in the first round.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. That's really important when it looks to pairings. Can you imagine if San Antonio, the 7th seed, and if OKC's the 8th seed, what that's going to do to the first round? I mean, not that those teams might advance, but at least the experience, the coaching, the stars on those teams could really put out a battle in those first couple of games. I can't wait to see those matchups.
Yeah, but I just have a strange feeling that Oklahoma City's going to do whatever they need to do to get into that 7th spot and play Denver. They get in that 7th spot. Look out, Oklahoma City. I wouldn't be shocked. Denver will be a slight favorite in that series, and I might go with Oklahoma City. It's all about experience in the playoffs.
What's going on at ParamountSports.com? Tell the listeners why to dial you up, what attention you're bringing now, and what you're focusing on.
Well, the first round, we were back and forth. We were 9-8 in the first round on our selections, but last weekend through last night, the NCAA, the NIT, the CBI, a perfect 10-0. So you want to hop on board. No one hotter in the country right now. Just go to ParamountSports.com, hook you up on a package through the Final Four, also doing the NBA. Just use coupon code SAVE200. It's all available, ParamountSports.com.
I got less than a minute here. When you see some of the sharps and people on TV now, so-called handicappers, but they don't have, you just gave us a track record of 9-8. I didn't ask you for that. There are a lot of people now that don't have track records that claim they're handicappers.
Yeah, you know, they claim that they're professionals. It's become a problem. Here's what's happening on Twitter and Instagram, all these other forms of social media. There's people out there claiming they're 28-2. You can go to my website. You can see every single game I've given out for the last 5 years. I've got probably 1,200 clients, so if I didn't put up a play, you can be sure they're going to be yelling and my phone will be ringing off the hook. So I just want to sleep good at night, and these people claiming they're 28-2, 35-4, you know, it just can't be done. I'm telling you this, JT, and I've been doing this now for 27 years. The most games in a row I've ever won is 12 in a row. So people telling you that they're 28-2 or 35-4 can't be done.
Thank you, Lee. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, JT.
Lee Sterling. Yeah, that's an important point about this, because there's a lot of people out there chirping how well they do during the tournament. It's tough to win. It is tough to win. That's why we try to put the best on. Steph McKenzie just came in. We're going to talk to her next hour. Oh, get ready. We're going to put Bobby to work. We're giving away a pair of tickets right now for the Vegas Golden Knights. But one problem, you have to make a call. You can't call in wanting the tickets. You actually have to talk like a human being. So we're going to see if we can do that again. Right now, I'm giving away a pair to the Western Conference champs. 876-1340. You better dial. You better have something to say on this team. 876-1340. Don't say that your buddy JT the Brick doesn't do anything for you. I'm going to put you inside the fortress tomorrow with two tickets to BGK.